Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, November 7th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, it certainly has been an interesting day in the markets. We had shares on Wall Street. They all rallied on the eve of the U.S. election, as Democrat nominee Hillary Clinton, her prospects brightened after the FBI said they're not going to press criminal charges against her over the use of a private email server. So U.S. stocks on today set for the biggest one-day percentage gain since March 1, and we're going to put that all into perspective for you. How much of a gain did they really have with this new news? So it certainly did mark the markets as far as both the paper markets and the gold markets. So we do have pressure on gold. Pressure on gold was down $22 today. $22 at $1,282. Silver was down 21 at $18.30. It's really not a bad price for silver. And this is pretty much about where we were on a week ago, a little over a week ago. Both platinum and palladium were stronger. Platinum was up 2 at 1,003. And we have palladium up 26, up $656. I don't know why palladium would move 4% on the announcement that there were no charges filed or will be filed against Clinton. So USDX today was stronger, 0.83, back at 97.72. Crude oil was up 87, 44.94. And the paper markets today, you had the Dow up 371 points, 18,260. The NASDAQ was up 119 at 5,166. The S&P was up 46 at 2,031. 10-year yield up 0.05 at 1.83%. Euro was, 110. All the Asian markets and European markets were basically up 2%. Hong Kong was up just a little under 1%. So it all followed through after the announcement was made yesterday. So, and again, it's confirmation just how rigged these markets truly are. And it's just confirmation of how they really want Hillary Clinton and not Trump to be president, to win the election tomorrow. So you can't become discouraged. And as I said, we're just back to where we were a week ago, a little over a week ago. So really not much has changed. However, the world's wealthiest people today became $37 billion richer today as stock markets rallied. Their combined net worth on the Bloomberg Billionaires Index rose 0.9% from Friday's close to $4.4 trillion. Global stocks and commodities, where did I want it to get down here? So the wealthy continue to get more wealthy. Billionaires continue to become, you know, even more so. Jeff Bezos, Amazon founder, he led the surge with $2.7 billion. How'd you like to make $2.7 billion in a day? Not too shabby.
Where do I sign up?
Warren Buffett, the fourth richest person in the world, he added $1.5 billion. The Mexico's richest person also had a billion-dollar day, Carlos Slim. He added $2.2 billion. And so those are the so the wealthy keep getting wealthier on the backs of the U.S. citizens. Bill Gates only added $700 million,
Al. That'll show him.
Yeah, but he's the world's richest person, so he only made $700 million. So,
well, obviously, he's not the world's smartest person if he only made $700 million.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, interesting day in the markets. A nice time to take advantage of a little bit of the pullback we've seen today, and it doesn't change anything. You know, tomorrow will be the big day. Tomorrow will tell us, you know, how we can sort of plan how this is all going to unfold here in the very near future.
How do you think it's going to unfold, Melody? I mean, technically, Hillary won't be, assuming Hillary is elected, she's not taking office, or Trump's not taking office until something like the middle of next month, or middle of January, excuse me. So we've still got another 2 months of Barack Obama for our political entertainment and insight. And then we get to whoever it is that's next. I don't, you know, people, to me this is just nonsensical to think that either one of these parties, either Clinton or Trump, is going to have a significant positive impact on the markets.
No.
To me, this is just fantasy. I will concede the possibility that, let's suppose Hillary is elected. All right, there'll be some jump in the market. All right, but for how long? And how much of a jump are we going to have if, come December, the Federal Reserve decides to raise interest rates by a quarter of a point? And they pretty much have to. They could put it off another month or two if that's what they wanted to do, but regardless, it's going to have to happen in the near future. And if the last year's rise is any indication, when they raise it another quarter percent, the markets are going to tank. Price of gold is going to skyrocket. Well, maybe not skyrocket, but increase dramatically. If the whole situation parallels what happened a year ago, the idea that either one of these candidates can save the markets from what is mathematically inevitable strikes me as just bizarre. I don't know why people would believe that. You know, it's surprising to me. Markets are in so much trouble. The economy is in so much trouble. The debt is so enormous. This thing just can't continue to function as it has. And it won't be the fault of whoever's elected. And a lot of people try to blame whatever happens and say, well, it's Obama. Obama's the one that did it. Well, they didn't help things. But this goes back, you know, 40, 50, 70 years when they started to give us a fiat currency. This is merely, we are hitting the inevitable result of things that started all the way back, you know, back at least to 1971, where we finally went completely off the gold standard, and maybe to 1933 when we went off the domestic gold standard. And it's been creeping up and creeping up and creeping up for, what, 80 years or thereabouts? 75, 80 years, it's been creeping up on us, and we're finally going to get... And this is why the problem is so intractable. Mm-hmm. All right? It's not something that just happened last week or last month or last year. It's not just because Obama neglected to do one thing or another, or because the Federal Reserve didn't, they did or they did not raise interest rates. That's not what this is about. This is the slow motion problem that was set in gear back in 1933, and the consequences of that stupidity are now coming home to roost. And everybody's going to scream and shout, but it's precisely because it's been building for 70 years or more that this is not going to be resolved. There's no tinkering. We've been building this thing up like the snowflakes in the avalanche metaphor until we have a really super high drift of snow, and this thing's going to break loose sooner or later. And when it does, look out below. What are you going to do with it?
And I think we see that in today's response. It to me, it tells me how close we are at the system unraveling, and that it doesn't matter that who is elected. The problems are here. The fundamentals are there, because you shouldn't have a market react the way it did if things were great. It wouldn't really matter. Sure, there'd be changes with either party, you know, because they each have their agenda. But if the markets were as stable, and this country and our economy was as stable as they'd like you to believe, you wouldn't have a 400 increase today, just on the mention that Hillary's criminal activities are going to be ignored temporarily. So, again, this is confirmation of just of the volatility that you're going to face in the very near future. I mean, even when Trump was gaining, well, he still is, when the market was falling a little bit, you didn't see those drastic drops. It was a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. The trend was downward by 9 days from when they started the investigation. But the response to today's market really should tell you how unstable the system really is.
Well, to me, I find it hard to believe that the market went up a couple hundred points because Hillary is going to beat the rap again.
that's my point.
I understand. And for me, I think the market moved as a function of manipulation rather than the general public has said, oh, hooray, Hillary has beat the rap again.
Absolutely, it's manipulated. That's the whole point. They manipulated, they rig it, so it did go up on that announcement. It was all coordinated.
Well, it may be, but I don't think...
It was all coordinated because people do care about their investment plans. You know, people see this...
I think
this.
It's coordinated because they can't keep it below 18,000 for long. I think the coordination was they had to bounce this thing back above 18,000 in order to maintain some semblance of public confidence. To me, this is evidence that they're scared to death that the public will genuinely react to the market and to the political system and maybe cause a real avalanche.
If Trump is elected, maybe that was a good way of looking at it too. Maybe they are fearful of Trump being elected, so therefore they needed to rig it to go the upside. But I really believe they moved it higher, not because it was close to collapsing, but if they can change enough opinions in one day, taking this election to the edge, and they can change how many opinions, because people do care about their pension plans. People do care about the stock market. And they did.
Well, that's a concern for people, that's for sure, but it's not a concern for everybody. I mean, people are worried about their pension plans for sure if they are retired, if they're getting close to retirement.
But they really don't want Mr. Trump to be elected. I mean, this is just another, along with the, you know, the.
Maybe we shouldn't want either one of them to be elected. How about that, buddy?
But they had the payroll numbers on Friday. This was probably a little bit of a follow through. It was all timed. It was all timed. And well, I could not even imagine what made, how'd you like that one, Mr. Comey, you know, the day before the election, changing his view.
Actually, 2 days. He did this on Sunday. He put the word out on Sunday, which is interesting to me. All by itself, they couldn't wait for Monday to release the fact that they decided they had to release this on what should have been one of Mr. Comey's days off. The whole thing just stinks and smells, and it's one of these things where you just sit back and there are parts of me that just, I mean, this is so painful. This is the most painful election I've ever seen. I've been in favor of people and against people in the past. But this one is the only one that's just, I have no idea. I'd like to know what has happened to the number of heart attacks and strokes in this country over the course of the last 30 days. Is it just pretty much on target, or are people saying, I can't deal with it anymore? It's the big one. I'm checking out. It's humiliating. It's embarrassing. It's astonishing. It's painful. It's bewildering. You can't get a straight answer. Who is ahead? Who's behind? I have heard people predicting landslides for Hillary, landslides for Trump. It's close. Trump's ahead. Hillary's ahead. I don't think, does anyone really know what's going on here? Does anyone have a real clue to what's really happening? I mean, some people are going to take credit. Well, I predicted that Hillary would win by a landslide, and she did. You don't know what you're talking about. You may actually make the right prediction. I'll give you that. But this is like picking numbers on a roulette wheel and claiming you're a psychic because you got the right numbers a couple of times. All right? You just got lucky. Nobody knows. I guarantee I don't know what's going on for a fact. And I read this. I see these claims. Trump is gay. Trump is going to win this thing. He's going to have a landslide. Yay. No, Hillary's going to get the landslide. Boo. Oh, my God. It's a terrible situation. And you're supposed to have computers and all the rest of this. We should have high tech. They should be able to nail this thing down and tell us what's going on. And they can't. Which tells me that they won't, which tells me that this thing is fixed. The technology is available, and yet it's not reliable, at least not in terms of the information that reaches the people. Whole thing just, oh, my God, when will it end? Have the election today. Will somebody tell them, look, enough, enough. Let the people cast their vote between now and midnight and forget about having the election tomorrow. Let's get done with this thing.
We have another 24 hours to go through, and when I lived on the West Coast, or longer, when I lived on the West Coast, the reports would start being released of the outcomes on the East Coast, which I don't think they should, because it does influence people's voting.
Yeah, I know.
And they shouldn't.
I know.
And I remember even when it was Bush and Gore, Missouri, the voting offices were supposed to close at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. They kept them open till 10. And so you have all of these little things that, you know, you don't think it's much. But you add it all together, and it does have impacts. It can have a major impact on the outcome. But so there's a lot of ways to rig elections. And
there's a lot of ways to rig the fatality rate this country, and one of them is make sure you put a TV set in all the hospital rooms and make people watch the election count tomorrow.
I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to be surprised.
I'm going to be surprised and shocked, and I won't believe any of it.
I know.
It's an amazing, astonishing, just astonishing. If this was a movie, I would not believe it. All right? And yet here we are, and we have to deal with it. All right, we also have to deal with a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Many, many people have experienced the benefits of drinking all-natural life-change tea. The unique blend of 8 herbs helps detoxify your body so you can live a healthier life. Numerous testimonies have been given about the benefits of drinking life-change tea. So, are you drinking life-change tea? Interested? Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Many are so impressed with our product, they order a year's supply. And why not? When they do, they receive 2 months free. That's a $70 savings. The body is meant to heal itself. Sometimes the body just needs a little help. Get the tea at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. This is not an ordinary green tea, and it's not available in stores. This tea helps with digestive problems, acid reflux, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and as talk show host Jerry Doyle says, it'll make you as regular as a baby bird. Enjoy your life. Get life change tea at getthetea.com.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We are in the process of tearing our hair out in anticipation of tomorrow's election results. Probably be able to sell a bunch of whatever it is you put on your hair to regrow hair. Be a big market for that this week, probably. We were just talking about Elon Musk making some comments just lately. Why don't you go ahead, Melody?
I thought it was an interesting comment. He talks about the computers, intelligent machines, robots, where they're going to pretty much be the workforce of the future. More and more jobs are going to be replaced by technology. People will have less work to do. And ultimately, they will be sustained by payments from the government. He says there really won't be any other options. There's a pretty good chance we end up with a universal basic income or something like that due to automation. In a country with universal basic income, each individual gets a regular check from the government. Switzerland considered doing this summer with a basic income of 2,500 Swiss francs, which equals about $2,578 a month this past summer. Voters ultimately rejected the plan, but it did spark a global conversation. You even had Obama addressing the idea of a universal basic income in an interview with the director of MIT's Media Lab. Whether universal income is the right model, is it going to be accepted by a broad base of people? And that'll be the debate once these computers begin to start taking over. While society is slowly mulling, we used to call them mullets, while society is slowly mulling over the idea of a basic human income, technology is rapidly changing the global workforce. And it goes on, this article goes on, he talks about, you know, how the jobs will be changing, like semi-trailer trucks will be able to drive themselves. And though that won't become the status quo for a while, it means that there won't be a need for quite as many truck drivers, Musk says. Some drivers will transition to fleet operators responsible for monitoring the status of a fleet of trucks. Not only one individual truck. If a truck appears to be having issues, then the fleet operator would come in remotely and solve the problem. So it's likely those truck drivers who no longer have a job might see, they might be willing to accept this type of a society. But the optimistic Musk sees increased automation as an overall benefit to society, even an opportunity. People will have other things to do.
Yeah, like what?
Like color.
Get drunk, do drugs, and fornicate. Right?
Or more.
Take a nap. There'll be people taking naps. We won't even have to cook our own meals.
And he says, certainly more leisure time. You betcha.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. See, my question about all this is, how universal is the universal payment? And what I mean by that, if we're going to set this thing up, and this is ultimately going to be part of the one world government, if that's where this is heading, right? Are we going to set our universal payment according to the income standards of the United States? Or are we going to set them according to the income standards of India? If we're going to divide up all the money equally among the people of the United States, well, that's one thing, and you can expect the people of the United States say, okay, you mean Bill Gates and all these billionaires are going to throw their money in the pot, and we're going to divide it up equally among all of us? There'll be a lot of people who go along with that. But what's going to happen if they say, wait a second, it's not just Bill Gates is going to throw his money in the pot, you and I are going to throw the money in the pot, because we are going to include the people in China and India in dividing up our cash? And we'll all have the same equal amount globally. And I guarantee you it's going to head in that direction. There's going to be a point in time when people are going to argue that there's no reason why the people in China shouldn't get as much money as the people in Chicago or New York. And what that ultimately means is the standard of living for the West is going to be badly diminished. And whatever benefits and retirement, whatever you thought about your standard of living, say, well, this is okay, this isn't bad, it's going to get worse. How are they going to say, we're going to have a universal check? Everybody gets the same, but except for the Chinese, they don't count. You going to make that fly? I don't think you can. Not in a one world government. If these universal checks were only universal within a particular nation based on what that nation's productivity was, well, it would be more tolerable, and it may start that way, but inevitably it's going to go to the whole world is going to get the same amount of money, which means our standard of living is going to have to drop and get closer to what the standard of living, current standard of living is for China, maybe India. So,
I think there could be a two-tier standard of living. Particularly if you use his example about the truck drivers, you're going to have the fleet operator who would be able to solve problems. The truck drivers will be the ones who get the government check. But if you have a job, you'll probably get paid more so and have a higher standard of living. It will be divided. And again, we often talk about all these pension plans, all these retirement accounts. We've talked about legislation that when that money is taken and stolen from the people, which it will, it's just a matter of time, the government will come out with a program and say, here, let us take care of you. We'll make sure that you never lose your money again. Mm-hmm. We have this special program for you. We have this annuity for you that will provide you with an income until you die or until you meet the death panels. So that's how they'll introduce it. Already it's being discussed. Obama discussed it this summer. They tried to pass it in Switzerland. You know, you get these countries like Greece, you know, that's failing, that's fallen apart. People will welcome the government that comes to you with a paycheck.
Yeah, but where does it get the money? Now,
well,
I understand
that ultimately they'll get the money
from the robots. The robots will be the means of production.
Well, that means they will have purged the debt by then. They will have defaulted on the debt. They have to do that first.
I understand that. Well,
and that's when they'll come to the rescue, and they'll integrate these systems into various parts. I mean, heck, half the people are already getting checks from the government. It's not that far-fetched.
No, none of this is that far-fetched, but the question, one of the questions is, are we, as a species, are we really equipped to just sit back and chill out, spend our time just relaxing and watching TV? What's going to be on TV? Stories about people who used to have jobs back in the bad old days, or was it the good old days? Are we equipped to just sit on our butts and do nothing productive? And I'm not convinced that we are. I think we need to work. At least a lot of us need to work to give us a sense of self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're not working, a lot of people just they fold up emotionally, psychologically, and they just prepare to die.
Well, you're working, you're also thinking of a group of people, the baby boomers, who believe that way and think that way. But look at the young people anymore. And there will be certain jobs for them. There'll be jobs where they, you know, will be able to control certain things and still provide that. But we've been conditioned over a period of, these kids are being conditioned for a lower standard of living. They've already been conditioned to accept certain things as their, I mean, they go through college and they can't even get jobs. So, no, I think it's a conditioning that has happened, and I don't doubt that there's both.
There's both
the
conditioning and nature.
Yeah, the idea of working is not the same as it was. To provide self-worth. I mean, heck, look at us, you know, heck, you know, you can lose a football game in school and still get a trophy, you know, there's, so.
But it's a cheap trophy, Melody, and it's not, it might be shiny, but it's not really gold-plated.
So my point is they're not using work is not being a.
I get that, and it's just interesting to me. I mean, the world may be changing in ways that, you know, just contrary to what I've seen and thought I understood for the last 71 years, you know, sort of thing. Is this possible? Can this work? I don't really know. I don't know. We'll watch and see. I mean, can I just sit back and relax and do nothing?
Well, there,
I'm not sure that I can. Other people may be able to, though. And if so, the world will belong to those people that are naturally best able to survive without working.
Well, my heavens, look at what they provide for entertainment anymore. Look what they consider as entertainment. As long as there's a, you know, a game that you can play, or, you know, some sort of Netflix that you can watch, some sort of reality program that you can watch. I mean,
we have a great deal of entertainment as an alternative to education. We want to be entertained rather than educated, and that's a great flaw.
It
I mean, it's
is.
Human nature, but nevertheless, it's a terrible flaw. It's part of the reason we're in the trouble we're in right now. We have spent our lives looking for entertainment rather than education. We would have, if the time we spent watching all these idiotic programs on TV, if we had spent that time educating ourselves, we might not have been as vulnerable to economic disruptions as we are right now. We might not have allowed this country to go down a path that is seemingly just, not just ill-advised, irrational, suicidal. Maybe we would have had brains enough if we spent a little more time on education and less time on entertainment. But here we are.
And even if working is desired, there's not going to be any jobs.
Well, there might be, but I mean, what will the jobs
not for the mass,
like
not for the mass population,
world?
Not for the general populace out there.
And when you're talking about
you're
two different
have to be
standards
very
of
specialized.
Checks, you're talking about two different sets of checks. One, universal payment, same rate for everybody. maybe 80% of the population, maybe 90% of the population, and then a top 10% that actually gets a paycheck that reflects their work.
Kind of sounds like Obamacare, doesn't it?
Well, I guess. I don't know. It sounds like Brave New World to me, and it sounds like a bunch of things. But then among that 10%, they'll start arguing, well, I'm doing more work than Johnson is over here, so I should get more. I should get twice as much as Johnson gets
because
I'm doing twice as much.
People will be thankful. They will be thankful. It's kind of like Obama is the system that they will use.
No. People will be thankful. Where did you get a silly idea like that, Melody? Haven't you paid any attention
to
the VIX index? People feel fear and they feel greed. They're not worried about being thankful. They're either fearful or greedy, and that's what moves them down the road.
In the brave new world, they'll be thankful. That
they'll be drugged. In Aldous Huxley's version, everybody got drugged in order to cope with the fact that their lives were
almost already happened. That's already happened.
Well, not to me, Melody. That's my problem. It's one of my problems. I've said it for a long time. I feel like the only guy in the nut house who's not getting any meds. It makes it, you know, if I had meds like the rest of people do, I would be a lot more mellow, Melody.
Mm.
But when you got to deal with this stuff straight up without benefit of drugs and alcohol, it puts a strain on you, Melody.
I understand.
Especially this election. I mean, this election, if there's ever been one that could drive a man to drink, this should be that this is the one. You can get through this election without drinking, you're saved. Your alcoholism is cured.
But anyway, so I thought that was sort of interesting. Not only do we have universal health care, we will now have a universal basic income. Brave new world in which we face.
Brave new world.
One more thing I wanted to just mention on the election, then we can move on, and we're heading into a break in Boston today. It's truly, this election really, it just baffles me the way people are showing their true colors. No matter what side, well, particularly the other side, they're really being exposed to how evil they truly are. And in Boston, there was graffiti that was found. And they just kind of, they say it's troubling, but they just kind of laugh at, it's probably a college kid thinking that it's a proper thing to say at this point in time. But basically, the graffiti says, kill your local Trump supporter. Now, to me, that's a little more than just someone, you know, feeling their oats a little bit. And it's just another sign of where we are at. And
it's another sign of where our government is at.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most annoying things about all of this. The indictments that are at least, the charges that are at least alleged against Hillary, they are numerous, they are substantial. We can debate whether they're true or false, but if they're true, it's not about Hillary. It's about a whole governmental system that is corrupt from top to bottom.
And
Hillary, if the charges are true, she should have been jailed 20 years ago. And the reason she wasn't is because the government was corrupt then. They let her go, and they've let her go, and they've let her go, and they've let her go. That's, you know, this is like some spoiled brat in some regards. This isn't just a function of the spoiled brat. It's also a function of the parents that let the brat get away with murder, figuratively speaking. It is an indictment of the whole government. I've listened to some, I don't even know who it is, you may have seen this, conspiracy theory explaining that there's a coup that's going on, that the Clintons tried to implement a silent coup over the internet, and then the intelligence community of this country implemented a silent counter coup against the Clinton crime family. What they're telling us is the criminals is that, and they're telling us that the Clinton Foundation, that those are the bad guys. Well, they may be, but they are not all alone. The intelligence community, as I listen to that program, that video, they're saying, oh, it's the fault of the Clinton Foundation. No, it's not. It's the fault of government that is corrupt. Barack Obama is corrupt. Joe Biden is corrupt. The The Supreme Court is corrupt. The Congress, the Senate, they're all in on it. They all know this is going on. They didn't do anything to stop it. And now we say, oh, my gosh, this is such a surprise. Hillary is so evil. Well, she probably is. But she couldn't, you know, she would not have achieved what she's achieved and done what she's done, except that everybody else in government looked the other way, which means they are corrupt from top to bottom. We're going to take a break for more commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Won't you take me back to school?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. And as the program began to go on the air again, the commercials were ending, and Melody is hyperventilating over something. I don't know if she's going to tell us or she's not going to tell us, but what's the OMGs all about, Melody?
That didn't go out on the air.
No, it didn't go out on the air, but I heard it.
Well, you didn't have to announce it to everyone.
Well,
but what's next, Al?
Well, I guess you're not going to tell us whatever it was, huh? Here's something we talked a little about, touched on Greece a little bit earlier in the program. Here's an article from Bloomberg, and the headline is, Euro area signals no significant Greek debt relief for a year. All right? Now, Greece is bankrupt. 2 years ago, Tsipras was elected Prime Minister of Greece, and I don't remember the name of the man who was elected Minister of Finance, but they admitted, said, we're bankrupt. Okay? All they wanted to do was just say, well, sorry about that, we're bankrupt, we can't pay, let's just get done with it and move on with our lives. That was basically their program. Huh? Well, they were prevented. They were persuaded. They were pressured. I don't know what happened to them, but the Greeks are still caught in a situation where they are deeply indebted, and yet they're not filing bankruptcy, which is the natural thing to do. And the article says Euro area finance ministers signaled they may not give a commitment on significant debt relief for Greece before next year's German elections, dealing a further blow to embattled Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras. They want debt relief. They want the debt canceled significantly. It's already been canceled by half. They want it canceled by at least another half. That's what the Greeks want. All right? And they're being stopped, however, because the finance ministers don't want any more debt relief for Greece because it will adversely impact on Angela Merkel's re-election to the as German prime minister. So the decision, part of the point here, is this is a political process, a political determination. It's not financial. It's not about whether Greece can pay, can't pay. It's not about the size of the debt. It's about politics. In fact, they go on, they say, as the Euro region's finance chiefs met in Brussels on Monday, Germany's Wolfgang Schäuble said the officials pouring cold water on Greek hopes for a concrete pledge as early as next month on lowering the country's debt burden in 2018. With government determined to stop Greece becoming an issue in election campaigns in the Netherlands, France, and Germany next year, their stance may push back the decision on easing the repayment terms of the bailout loans by another year. The euro area has already agreed to measures to shield Greece from increases in interest rates, but they won't discuss any further concessions until the current assessment out of its bailout condition has been completed. Greece's debt mountain is still more than 170% of its economic output, even after imposing more than 100 billion euros in losses in private sector lenders in 2011. All right, the biggest write-off in history. Now, while the euro area agreed in May that it look for ways to chip away at the debt burden, they have made little progress. Washington-based International Monetary Fund has insisted Greece's euro area creditors must agree on concrete and quantified relief, that means debt, cut the debt, before it will extend any more loans to the bloc's most indebted member. While the institution acknowledges that a nominal haircut is implausible, the haircut is a reduction. Greece owes $100 million, the haircut, or $100 billion, that means that the creditors will agree to take a $50 billion haircut. They'll lose 50 of the $100 billion that they're owed, they're still owed, they write that off, and then Greece says, oh, but we promised to pay the remaining $50 billion. Well, Greece probably would never pay it, no matter what happens. But the reason I bring this up is because Greece illustrates an idea that I've been talking about on the program here for the last, I don't know, a couple of months. And it's the observation that the debt is too great to be repaid. First point, debt's too great to be repaid. Therefore, it's not going to be repaid. I've been saying that for years. But more recently, what I have appreciated is that the second part of this problem is that if we cancel the debt, we cancel the correlative paper assets. For example, the federal government, the United States, owes $20 trillion. We could cancel a debt, but we can't do it without also canceling the value of $20 trillion in paper assets that correspond to what's owed by the government. If we wipe out $20 trillion in U.S. bonds, it's going to collapse the whole U.S. and global economy. And the point then is we're caught in a situation where we can't pay the debt, it's too big to be repaid, but we can't cancel the debt either, because if we do, we wipe out the correlative paper assets. I think the situation with Greece is an illustration of that two-part formula that I've been trying to explain to people. All right? They won't let Greece just wanted to file for bankruptcy. Hey, let us file for bankruptcy. Sorry, we screwed up. Can't pay the debt. Sorry about that. And then we'll file for bankruptcy. Debt gets wiped out. And we go back to, we begin our lives again and we start building up our whatever wealth and prosperity we're able to achieve. That's bankruptcy. Greece can't pay the debt. The debt's too big. They've already written off half of it. They want to write off more. They can't pay the debt, but they're not being allowed to cancel the debt with bankruptcy. Why? If they do, it wipes out paper debt instruments that are being used as collateral in banks under fractional reserve banking to lend out if Greece owes $100 billion. Say they did. That $100 billion, somewhere around those $100 billion in Greek bonds are probably being used as collateral in European banks. We're under fractional reserve banking over there. They can lend up to 23 times the face value of the collateral in their vault. If the $100 billion in Greek bonds, and we're only speculating, I'm only pulling that number out of a hat, I'm not saying that's what they owe, I don't know what they owe. But if the $100 billion resulted in $100 billion in debt, resulted in $100 billion in paper debt instruments that were being kept in banks around Europe, and they were used as collateral to justify loans at a rate of 23 to 1, they could, in theory, they could be running, there could be $2.3 trillion in loans that are out there in the European economies right now. And if Greece says, sorry, we're bankrupt, those loans might have to be all called in. This fractional reserve system works wonderfully well when the economy is growing and everything is cool and, oh, gee, isn't this great? We can magnify with fractional reserve banking. In the United States, you put $1 million in the bank. In theory, the bank can lend $9 million. They can use that $1 million as collateral to justify lending $9 million. You can stimulate the economy that way. But when the economy starts going south, that 9-to-1 ratio starts to work against you rather than for you. And if something happens to the collateral that's in the bank and it becomes worthless, they have to pull the $1 million in the bank turns out to be worthless. They may have to pull in $9 million in loans that are supporting people's cars and homes and shopping centers and flat screen TVs. So they can't let you off the hook. We can't cancel the debt and we can't pay the debt. And I look at that and I don't know what is the third alternative. What is the third alternative? If we can't pay the debt and we can't cancel the debt, what are we going to do about the debt? And I don't know. And the only thing I can imagine is there's got to be some sort of a catastrophic failure where all of a sudden you wake up one morning and you read the newspaper or look on the internet and say, oh my gosh, the whole thing blew up last night about 4:15 in the morning. And the debt's gone, but so are the paper assets and the banks are wiped out and God knows what's going to happen after that. So here we are, and to me, this is the significance of the Greek problem. They can't pay the debt, and they aren't being allowed to just file for bankruptcy, which is all they wanted to do when Tsipras and the finance minister were first elected 2 years ago. Just declare for bankruptcy and be done with it. Can't. Why? We have a debt-based monetary system. You could do it if it was an asset-based monetary system. But because we have a debt-based monetary system, you can't write off the debt without writing off the correlative paper assets. Huh? In an asset-based monetary system, if I go bankrupt and we have a currency, a money that is based on tangible gold, an asset rather than a debt, based on assets, gold, silver. If I go debt, if I go broke and I file for bankruptcy, all right, I lose my gold, I lose my silver, too bad for me. But somebody's still gets it. Somebody's got that gold and silver. That gold and silver is still there in the economy, and it's net, because it's not removed from the economy, my bankruptcy, my personal bankruptcy might be a personal tragedy, but it doesn't do terrible damage to the economy. But if we have a debt-based monetary system and I file for bankruptcy, I wipe out the currency, the monetary wealth of the system. It doesn't just move from me to my creditors. It disappears. If I can't pay my debt, that amount of debt, the correlative amount of paper assets is wiped out. It's vaporized. It's gone. And the system can't withstand it. So I don't know that this is really, I don't know that what I've tried to explain here, whether that's very clear or not, I don't know that it's, that that's what's really going on in Greece. but it is consistent with the idea we can't pay the debt and we can't cancel the debt. So what are we going to do? And the only alternative we have at the moment is to try kicking the can down the road around a little further into the future, so we can postpone the inevitable. And the inevitable is some kind of a major catastrophe, a major collapse, where we have to admit the debt-based monetary system doesn't work, the paper debt instruments are worthless, and God help those who don't have any gold or silver, because they're going to be in a world of hurt.
And
Melody,
with the health care, affordable health care, everyone, premiums I'm hearing all across the country are jumping 40%, 50%, 60%. I got some numbers in just late this afternoon. The government spent $936 billion on health care programs, including Medicare, Medicaid, and subsidies related to the Affordable Care Act. They now spend more on federal health care programs than Social Security. The federal health care programs outpace spending on Social Security. So they spent $936 billion on health programs. Social Security is $882 billion. So they can't blame us baby boomers anymore on Social Security for breaking the system. But again, as long as this continues, these programs will grow and grow. And this is just an example of how we get to that one-payer income that comes from the government. So this will bust. It's going to break. And because, I'm sorry, folks, the taxpayers don't have the money to pay this.
Oh.
And that's where it comes from. So every time you feel good about someone getting insurance for a couple bucks, just remember, if you're a taxpayer, you're paying for it. And these programs are just going to continue
to grow. It's not even just that you're paying for it. Your children and your grandchildren will pay for it, because right now it's being purchased with borrowed money. And we'll leave the debt for the next generation and let them pay for it. Those silly little kids, they don't even know that we're putting them into poverty right now. While they're going to grade school and high school, we're putting them into poverty, and they don't have brains enough to understand it, but that's their tough luck. We'll just leave them to bear the burden, you know, 10 years, 15, 20 years from now.
And I really didn't know that the U.S. was 26th in average lifespan. I thought we were a little bit higher than that. But, you know, so how good is our health care compared to other advanced countries? We spend we spend more on health care than any other country, and yet we rank 26th in average lifespan at just over 78 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, what can we tell you, folks? We live in interesting times, and they're going to be more interesting. It's not going to cool off after this election. Tuesday, it's going to be a relief to all of us, at least to me, and I think probably everybody. We're going to say, oh, my God, thank God that election's over. But the problems aren't over.
No.
And the problems are just beginning, all right? We're just beginning to see these problems manifest in a way that people finally say, how the heck did that happen? And we're going to live in interesting times, probably for the balance of your life and mine. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom. I want to thank all of you for listening. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.